The following message was given by brothers Frank Hong and Samuel Kim in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, June 25th, 2017. The title of the message is Enjoying the All-Inclusive Christ as the Reality of All Positive Things. Scripture verses are Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 through 19, Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, John chapter 6, verse 57, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21a, John chapter 16, verse 13, John chapter 6, verse 63, and Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16.
We love you. Thank you for the members. Thank you for the portion you have given to everyone. Lord, release the speaking. Oh, release the portion in all the saints. Lord, build up your church through the speaking of your word. Lord, we love you. Thank you. You are the reality. Oh, you are the rich Christ. Lord, you desire to get in, to fill us. Lord, we come to you this morning. We open to your speaking. Lord, grow in us for the building up of the church. Amen. Hallelujah. The book of Colossians presents to us a wonderful picture, even the highest revelation of Christ. Amen. Concerning God's economy. We have been in the book of Colossians for almost two months. And I don't know about you, but I've been really enjoying seeing this wonderful Christ. And I'm really impressed how this wonderful Christ, who is all-inclusive, and he's also all-extensive. Right. Not only he's rich in himself, but God desires in his economy that this Christ will be rich and will become our experience. Amen. Praise the Lord. Colossians 3:11 says that this Christ will be our all in all. Amen. This Christ want to be our all in all. Amen. He is all in an objective way, but he also wants to be in all in our experience. I hope that through our fellowship this morning, I'm going to start by sharing something that I enjoyed this week. And I hope many saints, and I'm really looking forward to all your sharings later on, that the riches of this Christ will not just remain in our mind, in our knowledge, but through our speaking, we can enjoy the Christ that you have experienced. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be here with all the saints. Because, you know, in the church, the riches of Christ is being manifested by all the saints. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this week, we come to this matter of enjoying the all-inclusive Christ as the reality of all positive things. There was a little typo in the title of last week's morning watch sheet. It's not "and." It's enjoying the all-inclusive Christ as the reality of all positive things. Amen. This Christ who is all-inclusive is the reality of all positive things that we need to experience. They're not separate things, right? As we're enjoying this all-inclusive Christ, we need to remember that he is the reality of all positive things. Well, first, you know, very early this week, I was checked with this word, enjoyment, or enjoying the all-inclusive Christ. Now, this word is not unfamiliar to us. Many Christians may not have the concept that we can enjoy this Christ. We're familiar with worshiping this Christ, or revere this Christ, or appreciating what this Christ has done for us. But I believe among us in our meetings, we view this work a lot, enjoying Christ. But what does it mean to enjoy Christ? Somewhat like what we went into, what we covered last week concerning the cross of Christ as the unique way for God's economy. When we hear the word cross, you know, we may have certain definitions or understanding. We think of sufferings, perhaps, and maybe something we have to bear. But last week, I really enjoyed that the cross is the unique way not to make us suffer. Many times, there is suffering involved, but this cross is the unique way for God's economy to bring us to this unique person who God desired that he would be all in all to us.
Amen.
So this week, when it comes to the matter of enjoyment, again, I was checking, how do I understand that we're enjoying Christ? You know, what do we enjoy? Often we say that, or in our normal common conversation, we may say, I enjoy a concert. I enjoy a piece of music. Or I enjoy going to a baseball game, right? I enjoy reading a novel. Or I may even enjoy doing a crossword puzzle. So when you say enjoy, our normal conversation, usually something that is perhaps fun to do or keeps you entertained, something you like to do. So when we say that we need to enjoy this Christ, what does that mean? Do we expect to be entertained by this Christ? Or do we just merely want to have some joy, peace from this Christ? So I'm again reminded of God's economy revealed, especially in the book of Colossians, that in God's economy, God only cares for Christ. He doesn't care for anything else. He doesn't care for philosophy, good traditions. He only cares for Christ.
Amen.
And he wants to work this Christ into every one of his member, every one of the member of the body of Christ. So for us to enjoy this Christ is not merely something that we do it selfishly, but we need to experience and contact this Christ so that Christ, as the unique person, as the unique constituent in God's economy, would be worked into us. It would not be something merely objective remaining in our knowledge, but this Christ would be experienced in our daily life. We need to experience this Christ. So when we enjoy this Christ, it's not just in the meetings, it's not just to study or hear about this Christ. We need to experience this Christ in a daily way. Well, sometimes I have to admit that when I hear about enjoying Christ, I consider maybe hearing a good message about Christ, that's to enjoy Christ. Or maybe hear some inspired stories about Christ, that is to enjoy Christ. The messages help, the stories help, but that gives us a objective revelation concerning Christ. But we shouldn't just be satisfied there. We need to go on to ask the Lord to give us the subjective experience of this Christ. When we hear about Christ, that hearing is good, because in Romans 10:17 says that is the source of our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. So as we're hearing about Christ, we obtain the objective knowledge, revelation of Christ. But we need to go on to pursue the experience of Christ.
Amen.
Or Jesus. Amen. So that this Christ that we experience in our daily life will gradually replace our natural element. Natural element. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So this matter of Christ being the reality of all positive things is based on Colossians 2:16 through 19. So maybe let's read those verses again. Let's read Colossians 2:16. Let no one therefore judge you in eating and in drinking, or in respect of a person, or in moon, or of the Sabbath, 17, which are a shadow of the things to come. But the body is of Christ. Amen. In Colossians 2:16, Paul says that no one therefore judge you in eating and in drinking. Now, eating and drinking is something that we do on a daily basis, right? We need to eat and we need to drink. To eat and to drink, this help us to exist. This is something that we have to do, our daily necessity. And he also said that in respect of a feast, this refers to the Jewish feast that they keep annually, at least three times a year, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath. New moon is something weekly, and the Sabbath is new moon is something monthly, and the Sabbath is something weekly. So these refers mainly to the ceremonial laws that the Jews keep. And this is something enjoyable. This is something that they like to do. And this were even given to God's people. So these are something from God. But Paul says these are a shadow of the things to come. But the body is of Christ. This word shadow means that it's pointing to something that's real. That's the body is of Christ. So these ceremonial laws, the things that they're involved in, daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly, they are real in a physical sense, but they point to something that has a spiritual reality, and that is Christ. The body is of Christ. And, you know, a person, here, a physical body has shadows, right? So when you have the real person, you don't want to just stick with the shadows. You want to lay hold of the real person. The person is the reality. It would be foolish just to hang on to the shadows and miss the reality, the real person. So we need to... We should not be occupied or Lord Jesus. We should not be in those things and yet miss the real person who is Christ. Amen. So when you have the real person, whether you have the shadow, that's really irrelevant. Now, I was considering, you know, in the church in Colossae, there may be still some believers who keep the Sabbath. Now, Paul says, let no one judge you. Judge means to have an opinion of, or to form an estimation or evaluation of something. So whether someone still keep the Sabbath or not, it's irrelevant, it doesn't matter. But we need to remember to enjoy this Christ who has come to be our everything. He is the reality. Is he real to you in your daily life? How real is he in our experience? We have to ask ourselves this question. Is Christ real to me? Day after day in my living, am I experiencing Christ as the reality of all the shadows? He should be our real food and our real drink, right? So every day when we eat, when we are satisfied with what we eat, he needs to be the reality. We need to be reminded that he is the real food. And every week, in keeping the Sabbath was given to man so that they can enter into God's rest, right? So whether we keep the Sabbath in an outward way or not, it doesn't matter. But do we really have rest? Do we enter into God's rest? Is Christ the reality of rest and completion to us? That's really what matters. I eat breakfast every morning, and the breakfast keep me going, right? But every day as I'm eating breakfast, I need to be reminded that Christ is my real food. Now, is Christ my real food? You know, often I have to confess, I could go on for days without contacting this Christ, but I'm still inwardly, I don't feel that hungry. So in this respect, Christ is not yet the reality of my daily food. But so I'm sure in experiencing Christ as the reality of food in my experience. But I believe that's many of our experience as well. But we shouldn't be discouraged, right? We need to ask the Lord. We need to pray to the Lord. Lord, be my real food. Lord, I know you desire that you want to fill me in your economy. You want to be everything to me. So, Lord, I ask you that you will be the reality of my food and my drink, of my necessity. Now, this kind of prayer, the Lord will answer. But we many times just need to be genuine and ask the Lord to be the reality to us. Lord Jesus, amen. We need to ask the Lord to give us more experience as the reality of all things to us. And so this kind of enjoying Christ as the reality of all things is not something outward. It happens in our daily living. And I was touched also from John 6:57. Maybe we can read that verse. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. So we need to learn to eat the Lord, right? The more we contact the Lord by eating his word, spending time with him, then we will live because of him. Amen. So to experience him, enjoying him as a reality, is to live because of him. And also in Philippians 1:21, it says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." The first part, for me to live, it's not culture, it's not my tradition, it's not just the way I'm doing things. We have to learn to live is Christ. We need to live with Christ, by Christ, having Christ as our reality. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now, maybe let's go to Colossians 2:18. Let no one defraud you by judging you unworthy of your prize, of chosen lowliness and the worship of the angels, dwelling on the things which he has seen, vainly puffed up by his mind, set on the flesh. You know, this word defraud is even stronger than the word judge. Defraud means that, you know, there's someone that's trying to cheat you, deceive you out of something that's rightfully yours. We have this wonderful Christ given to us as our portion. He is rightfully ours, and we need to enjoy him daily. Here, the word price refers to Christ, who is the body or the reality of all the shadows. So we need to enjoy this Christ and not be cheated out of this enjoyment of Christ. He is rightfully ours, and we need to enjoy him daily. You know, every day as we're contacting many things in our environment, as we eating our food, putting on our clothing, we need to be reminded that Christ is our real food. He's the real clothing. He's our real rest. We should not allow all these things to become replacement of Christ. You know, say God has an enemy. You know, God wants to work himself into us, right? But he has an enemy that has a strategy, that is using many things to replace Christ in our experience. Many of the good things that we encounter becomes a replacement of Christ. You know, this week I enjoyed something from the book, The Heavenly Vision, that there's a lot of things in the world that we need. There are a lot of earthly things that we need. We, as we're enjoying and partaking of all the earthly things, we need to be reminded that we need Christ as the real spiritual reality for our experience. We should not be occupied and allow these things to replace Christ. We should not allow these things, these worldly, earthly things, to become worldly things, part of Satan's system to occupy us. Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And, oh, Lord Jesus. You know, the whole Bible is filled with things. In the Old Testament, we have these six category of things, right? We have the many persons who are types of Christ. We have many plants, animals, minerals, offerings, and food. There are types of Christ that should remind us to enjoy Christ in all his riches. Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, lastly, I want to read Colossians 2:19. And not holding the head, all from whom all the body, being richly supplied and knit together by means of the joints and sinews, grows with the growth of God. Amen. This week I really enjoyed this matter of Christ being the head. For us to really enjoy him in our daily life has a lot to do with how we really take him as the head. This is a matter of practice, right? Every day, there's thousands of decisions that we have to make. There's thousands of things that we encounter. Do we take the Lord as our head? Do we let him have the first place in our heart? That would determine whether Christ is really the reality in our experience. And we need to really give him the first place. I had two experiences yesterday. One is, I was thinking about doing something around the house that needs to be done. But also, inwardly, I had a feeling that I need to spend some time with the Lord to prepare for the meeting, the Friday night fellowship meeting. So the Lord has some speaking. He says, you should spend some time. But I felt that I need to do something around the house that needs to be done. So I didn't obey that voice. I just went ahead and did what I need to take care of. And I took care of it, and I finished it. It's not that I didn't do anything wrong, but because I did not obey the Lord, I did not take the Lord as the head. You know, it wasn't something bad. I didn't do anything bad. But at that moment, I just felt I disobeyed the Lord. I did not allow the Lord to become the head in my experience. So I didn't enjoy him that much that day. Another experience was yesterday over dinner. I was saying, you know, I just commented something to my wife. And, you know, often you just say something, you know, in passing, and you didn't mean anything, but your wife may take it as an accusation. So she became a little defensive and started to, you know, saying something that, you know, often when she did that, and I would try to explain, I didn't really mean to accuse you of anything. I'm just, you know, but when we had that kind of conversation, I right away, the Lord touched me. You should just not say anything, you know. Let me handle the conversation. You just be quiet, right? So I obeyed. And I experienced the Lord as my head. I did not say, so I just, you know, I try not to explain. I just allow the Lord to be my head in that situation. And I experienced the Lord a little bit as my real Sabbath. Well, I enjoy the Lord. Amen. He becomes a little more real to me. So saints, we need to, you know, we have such a wonderful Christ that we have heard about, but we're still very short in our experience. So may we really be open to the Lord and ask the Lord to lead us into many, many more experience of this wonderful Christ in our daily life as a reality of all the positive things. All the things that we went through should be a reminder to us that this Christ, he's not happy just to stay in our knowledge, in our objective revelation, but we need to practice to come to the Lord. Amen. Oh, so how do you enjoy this Christ? Today, this Christ is the Spirit of reality. Amen. Amen. Maybe we'll end with I'll end with this next verse on John 16:13. But when He, the Spirit of reality, comes, He will guide you into all the reality, for He will not speak from Himself, but what He hears He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are coming. Our Christ today has the title called the Spirit of Reality. Yes. So if you want to enjoy this Christ, you have to know who He is. He is not physical. He is the Spirit of Reality. So I think we all know that to touch the Lord, we need to turn to our spirit. He's not physical. We cannot see Him physically. But we do have a spirit that can contact this Christ and enjoy this Christ and appropriate this Christ. And He is the Spirit today, and He is the Spirit of reality. So when we contact Him in our spirit, He will lead us into all the reality. All that we hear about Him will become real to us in our subjective experience. Amen.
So the subject that we were covering this past week was enjoying the all-inclusive Christ as the reality of all positive things. And I was struck as Brother Frank asked this question in his sharing, how much of Christ do we enjoy as our reality in our daily life? And then my feeling after going through this week was, not that much. And actually, this message is not for you just to feel bad that you're not enjoying Christ in your daily life. Actually, it's to present Christ in such a way to see that He is everything. Amen. He is the reality of all positive things. Amen. How many positive things are there in the universe? Oh, actually, a lot. Amen. A lot. And actually, a lot of the things that we take for granted, oh, actually, it's very good. It's very good. So actually, from this message, it should cause in us such a seeking, a desire
to experience more of Christ.
Amen.
That he would really be everything to us. And it's quite interesting, the contrast that we see in Colossians, right, is that the problem that came in is that people were judging in the eating and drinking, right, in the respect of a feast, of a new moon, or of the Sabbath, right? All these things, if you followed along, these are all the ceremonial aspects of the Jewish religion, right? And this encompasses the entire life, right? The life of a believer, a Jewish believer, in that tradition. And I was quite struck. This is what God gave them. But God gave to them as a shadow. This is not the reality. But even that shadow was something of the daily life. The eating and drinking. Well, I don't know how much we think about this, but if you're a Jew, eating and drinking is important, right? Right? It's how do you eat and drink? That's very much regulated by God's laws, right? So eating and drinking, if you're a Jew, then every day you're touching something of what God gave them, right? But this is a shadow. So as a shadow, we should not, if the reality is here, just hold on to that. Actually, if you do, that is a defrauding. You're being cheated, right? You're dealing with, if someone is here, right? The person is here. I see Michael Bartlett, he casts a big shadow, right? And if I'm just dealing with the shadow, right? Maybe he's far away, so he's not near, but I see the shadow. Oh, he's coming. But if he's here and I'm not talking to Michael, then that is a defrauding, right? So we should not be defrauded that Christ is the reality of all these things. It's actually quite, eating and drinking is so every day. It can be mundane maybe, right? But, you know, the subject of this is enjoying, right? And this is my burden. Enjoying the all-inclusive Christ. How many of you enjoy eating, right? So often not that much. You know, when people talk to me, you know, sometimes it just gets in the way. I wish I could just eat it faster. I could just kind of take a pill and I don't have to spend the time. But you know when you really enjoy eating? Oh, when you're hungry. When you're hungry. If you're hungry, then, everything is good. I remember one time I used to go home from work. I lived fairly close, so I would go home. And actually, it would be to just get away from the office and be able to spend some time with the Lord. I remember. So I went home to eat. And I was preparing leftovers. And I have to confess, I don't like leftovers. I really do not enjoy leftovers, right? I told my wife that actually I feel like leftovers, it gives me a stomach ache. But actually, I remember I was sitting there in front of my food. And, you know, common, we pray before we eat, right? We thank the Lord for the food. And often we have some more knowledge. We say, Lord, you are my real food, right? How often do we say that? We teach our foods. But do we realize the Lord is our real food? We don't just say that. He needs to be our real food. So I remember at that moment, I was just praying, but just spending time. I said, Lord, I just need to eat you. You're eatable. Lord, you're my real food. And I didn't just say it, but as as I was praying that, I was being supplied. I was being supplied by Christ. And I forgot about eating altogether. I just spent a lot of time just lingering, eating the Lord. And then afterward, I could thank him for the food, the physical food, even the leftovers. I appreciated it because Christ is the reality. Actually, he's the reality of all our daily necessities, all the things that we take for granted, right? He is our breath. He is our clothes that we wear that covers us, protects us. He is our dwelling place, right? He is all these things to us. That means that every day there's something of Christ that we can enjoy. You know, he's more than all these daily necessities. Actually, I don't think I'm going to cover everything that is covered in this section, right? All, even the six aspects in the Bible. He is so much. He is so rich. But I can't cover everything. But I do want to share a couple more points. One is we need to realize who Christ is. He is all-inclusive.
Amen.
right? In the past, we saw that he is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation, that all things were created through him and unto him. This is huge. And then in this section, we see that he's not only that, but he's also all the small things in our daily life. But this needs to be our objective revelation. We need to realize this. We need to see all that Christ can be. But it can't just be objective to us. It has to become our subjective experience, right? And actually, our experience comes out of our objective knowledge, right? If Christ was not revealed in such a way, then how can we experience him, right? So I just want to illustrate this matter. We hear these words a lot, objective and subjective. But I've really been enjoying this very much. You know, in middle school, I remember they were trying to teach us these words and what they meant. And usually it's in writing. And I just couldn't understand the difference. It just seemed the same to me, right? But objective, it actually, if you read the definition, it belongs to the object, right? So if you look at this, this is a Bible, right? It's called the Bible. Right? Actually, this is the New Testament, right? It has this many chapters and books. It's written at some time. There's all these objective facts. It belongs to this, right? But subjective, that's all objective. Subjective means that it belongs to the thinker, not to the object, but to the thinker. That might be me. And I look at this book and I say, oh, the Bible. I enjoy the Bible. The Bible is rich. Right? That belongs to the thinker. That is what I'm thinking. Often, you know, I lived in Manhattan for a long period of time and then moved to Queens, so I became unfamiliar with a lot of things. But then people often go out to eat. And there was one restaurant that, I heard a lot about in Flushing and Whitestone. And people say, it was so good. This buffet is so good. It was so, so rich in everything. It was wonderful. And I heard so many things, and people would hold their birthdays and a lot of celebrations. And so I heard a lot about it. So now I could tell other people, if they're looking for a place to eat, I say, you should go there. It's very good. Actually, that was my objective understanding of it. I never went. But I told actually many people, you should go there. And it was genuine. There's something to objective knowledge. But then one day I actually went there. And then going there, it's very good. There's a lot to eat there. And actually, it was very rich. And this adjective, rich, you know, that's a very subjective term. We see it very much. Apostle Paul says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Amen. That is a subjective experience. Right? Rich, it might be rich to you, but it's not rich to me. This is something very subjective, right? That Christ has to be our experience. We have to experience objectively that we can say, the riches of Christ. He is so rich to me. How can we say that if we do not have the experience? So very much in all in the epistles when Paul talks, you see this word rich very much. Paul doesn't want to give us the knowledge of Christ. He wants to bring us into the experience of Christ, the experience of all these riches. And I appreciated how this section ended. You know, is it in Colossians? It's in 2:19. And not holding the head, out from whom all the body, being richly supplied, and knit together by means of the joints and sinews, grows with the growth of God. You know, we talk a lot about the body, right? The body, building of the body. Actually, the banners for the church this year is the blending, right? The blending, we have the blending with the churches, we had the conference that was here, the blending with all the different age groups. We had the matter of relevancy, right? Which is that all the members, they have a function. They're connected to the body. And that we need this. And then we have this matter of the truth pursuit, right? This is not something that we judge one another. Are you doing the reading, right? Are you keeping up? And I'm the one, I'm doing the reading, and I feel like I'm better than everyone else. No, but all these are matters of building the body. Building the body. And how do we build a body? Actually, in this section, it's by holding the head. Holding the head. Because it's by holding the head, where does the supply come from? It's out from the head. Amen. It's out from the head. And I appreciate it. What does it mean to hold the head? Actually, it's just to enjoy the Lord. It's just to enjoy the one who is the head of the body, right? And even in Ephesians, right, it's the same. We see that we may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, Christ, out from whom all the body, being joined together and knit together through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation in the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love. So actually, how do we build the body? How does the body grow? It's actually just by enjoying Christ. Enjoying the all-inclusive Christ. And in this section is as the reality of every positive thing in the universe. So that's just in our daily life. Everything that we do. You know, there's so many of us here, and there's so many different situations. And even now, there's a time. You know, in different times, we're in different situations. But in all those different aspects, actually, there's a Christ. There's an aspect of Christ that could be our enjoyment and our reality. Christ, we can experience Christ in all these wonderful ways. Amen.
Brother, saints, before we started the fellowship, I want to update you on Brother James' situation. And after Memorial Day conference, about 4 days after the conference, and his right leg was broken. Because he had done that operation in 2012, and the upper part of the femur bone suffered a serious osteoporosis, so that that part was broken off. So immediately we delivered him to Sloan Kettering. Before we left for Taiwan, the doctor had a pretty good prognosis to offer the operation to replace the whole femur bone. So about 24 hours after he entered the salon, the operation was done. So it was very successful, even though it was a long, very, very big surgery. The cut is almost 3 feet long, and it's probably 200 or some stitches. But anyway, the recovery is going on very well. So. After about 8 days in Sloan, he was transferred to Grand Healthcare Rehab Center, which is located along Francis Louis Boulevard. It's 157-19 on 17th Avenue. So it's right there. So if since you want to visit him, 19th Avenue. I'm sorry. It's 19th Avenue. So, 157-15 19th Avenue. So if you want to visit him, do so before 3 p.m. Because after 3 p.m. he normally get pretty tired. So in the morning, right now he's the physical rehab is not really started yet, because his physical condition is a little weak. So they are trying to get him strong before the real PT starts. So if you go, he will be very happy. So just stop by, but don't stay too long, and say hi, and encourage him to go on, because the church is going on. He's very optimistic and joyful, and particularly the brothers went to, after the Memorial Day conference, went to Taiwan, and then he heard all the good reports. He's full of hope, and he's full of hope. Brothers and sisters, continue to pray for him, because his well-being is very important for the going on of the church in New York City. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I think as many of you know, some of us took a trip to Taiwan. We spent 10 days there, returning this last Thursday. Actually, it was the three of us with Brother Timothy Hung, and also Brother Benjamin Shen. Many of you know him from KPCC, from Camp Penuel. He is serving as the camp director there. So the five of us went. This was not a personal trip. This was not a trip to go to give or partake in a conference. This was really a kind of a blending trip, a blending of the church in New York with the church in Taipei. This was,
as our brother Bill just mentioned, the kind of banners that we have been speaking forth for the going on of the church here this year. The matter of blending.
Amen.
This is, we declared last year that 2017 would be a year of blending.
Amen.
And it has been so. It has been so. We had that big blending with brothers to review the elders training that was in April. Then many of the sisters here were involved with that big blending that we had with the sisters from the North New England down through Virginia and even some other places. And of course, we had the biggest blending of all was the Memorial Day conference. And then we have this trip. Through the blending, not only is the body built together, but actually we draw from one another.
Amen.
The churches draw strength from one another. The groups draw strength when you have the blending of the small groups. And when we have fellowship, we draw from one another.
Amen.
Our enjoyment and strengths are to you and yours to ours. And in this view, it was felt in fellowship that as we're growing here, and I think many saints know now that the church in New York City is the largest church in the United States, and our expectation is that we would spread the Lord's testimony throughout this city more and more, multiplying meeting halls, multiplying districts, and that in the process we would grow. And right now we have about 1,000 who are in our meetings on the Lord's Day morning. And before us in North America, there's actually no other pattern. We are the largest. We're sort of pioneering this way. So in fellowship with some of the brothers and very much with Brother James's pushing, there was this feeling it would be good to go to a place like Taipei, who has this one point that, you know, they have 12,000 saints on the Lord's Day. 12,000 saints meeting regularly on the Lord's Day. That's their Lord's Day average. And within one month, because not everyone comes every week, but within 1 month, they have at least 15,000 up to 16,000 saints attending the Lord's Day meeting. And that's not something kind of in the air or a guessing. That's actual people, because they can tell you. They actually have an attendance record of all the saints in the meeting. They know who's missing. And they even have a kind of log that if anyone's missing the meeting 4 weeks in a row, they contact the saints in their small group, and they expect that you would visit these dear saints. And no one would slip through the cracks. We're very impressed by this, the properly aggressive attitude in shepherding and visitation.
Amen.
So they have 12,000 saints meeting regularly in 63 meeting halls spread throughout the city. But actually, the Lord's table is not in all the meeting halls. Some of the meeting halls have Lord's tables. Many of the meeting halls are in smaller districts and even in homes.
Amen.
And so this gives many, many saints the opportunity to function in a very, very regular and normal way. And I was very happy as the brothers chose the verses for us to read. This was the last verse that we read about the body, causing the growth of the body through the operation in the measure of each one part. And saints, there is a lot that we can learn from the example of the church there. How they have exercised to help many, many saints just to function in their capacity.
Amen.
You know, this matter of relevancy, this, that we're emphasizing, actually we saw it displayed there in the saints. We not only visited Taipei, we also visited the cities of Kaohsiung and Taichung and New Taipei City. That's a big story in itself. I don't think we have time to get into that. But to see so many saints gathered, yet so many functioning, and we're not talking about just the meetings, although many function in the meetings, but even more so, functioning in the gospel preaching, functioning in the visitation of the new ones and of the saints. So there's the mutual shepherding in action week after week. And so, saints, you could imagine how this brings in a sweet feeling in the church life, that we don't forget anyone. We don't forget anyone. I would say, to our shame, it's easy for someone to miss a few meetings among us in any of the districts, and we may not notice until sometimes it's a little too late. We don't notice. We don't intend, because the meeting's so big. The meeting's so big, our heart is for everyone, but we don't know exactly. And sometimes when we notice someone's not here, we imagine or make up an excuse for them. They're probably with the children. They're probably serving. They might be away. Or maybe they went to that conference. And saints, that doesn't happen there. They know. And then there's the visitation. And I tell you, saints, what a encouragement this was. And I hope this can be an encouragement to all of us. And in the days ahead, we hope to fellowship with you some of the principles that they, actually principles we know, but to show how they have put them into practice. Amen. To bring the saints into function so that we can also benefit from the riches that they have received. Amen. and the blessings that they have received.
Amen.
Amen.
There was a lot of encouragement for us to go when I first, actually from Andrew Yu at the beginning, you brothers need to go there and learn how they take care of so many saints. I thought, I'm not going to go to Taipei for 10 days. How can I be away for that long? But I am so happy that the brothers didn't ask me, they just bought me an airline ticket and I went. And we don't have the time to tell you, but come over to my house, I'd like to tell you all the things. It really was eye-opening and very encouraging. You know, the brothers there are practicing the God-ordained way and to enable all the saints to function in many different small ways that we don't think about when we think of the God-ordained way, you know, to meet and to serve. But when Brother Lee went back to study this, he had, you know, I don't think we realized the depth of what he was thinking and how he was wanting to help the saints to function in so many ways. But when you get into the details of the way the saints are practicing there and the increase that they've seen, 11, 16% a year, you realize this way to meet and to serve works.
Amen.
It works. And it doesn't just work someplace and not work other places. If we will practice it, it works.
Amen.
And it really helps the saints to find their niche in the church life, to be relevant in the church life. Even from the youngest to the junior high, through the college saints, to the young adults, to the elderly saints, every one of us has a function.
Amen.
We know this. We've seen this. We speak this to each other, yet somehow we don't all find our function so easily. So this is a very helpful practice. And one thing that touched me when we were visiting the brothers in the different localities was that I felt this helped me a lot, that we need a change in our concept.
Amen.
I have a concept about this. I have a concept about that. I have a concept about the God-ordained way. I have a concept about preaching the gospel. I have a lot of concepts, but we need to change our concept. And these three phrases really helped me. We need to change our concept from meetings to people. We're very good at having meetings, but we're not so good of taking care of people. And when the brothers ask us, how was the meeting? Oh, the meeting was great. But nobody asks, how is this person? How is that person? We need to have a change in our concept.
We need church meetings. Of course, the church meetings are crucial. But we need to focus on people. And even this little thought of somebody's not here for a month, we should go visit them. That's to focus on people. Who's been missing? Why are they missing? We should contact them. And I feel in the church here, you know, people get saved all the time in New York. Since I've come in these 39 years, people are getting saved. But we don't go out to visit them after they're saved that well. We don't shepherd them that well because we're still thinking, I'm afraid my concept is meetings. Bring them to the meetings, but not people. The second thing is change of concept from large to small. If you really want to get something done, you want to be able to take care of the saints, if you have a small group that you're burdened for and that you're caring for, it's much easier to care for them that way, and it's much easier for you to shepherd them that way. You know, now we have, it's been pointed out of these 34 brothers that are now being brought into the responsibility in the church here. And we have about 1,000 on the Lord's Day. If we 34 brothers would just concentrate on 30 people each, then 1,000 people would be shepherded every couple of weeks if we contact them. It's if you think small. But my concept has always been, I can't shepherd everybody. There's too many people here. And you know, I met somebody a few weeks ago. I tried to come early to meet some of the saints here. I met a sister here. And, you know, I'd never seen her before. I didn't know her. I didn't know her name. So I introduced myself and met her and asked her how long she's been meeting with the church here. And she said, 2.5 years. I was ashamed, really exposed, that we're just not, but if we break it down, if it's not just the big meeting, we break it down to the small groups, we break it down to the smaller little, you know, twos and threes or whatever, we can take care of everybody. We just have to change our concept. And the last change is from come to go. From come to go. We're very good at inviting people to come, but we're not so exercised to go and contact them and visit them. So in a lot of areas, this is very, very, we can apply this to so many areas of the church life here and to all, you know, all the things we have. And one last thing that, you know, related to the God-ordained way, I think we all know it's related to, you know, begetting people, that's preaching the gospel, nurturing them, that's shepherding them in the homes, going to their homes to feed them, then perfecting them in the small groups and building up of the church by the prophesying in the church meetings. These four things are very familiar to us. But I never understood the perfecting and how to perfect in the small groups. I have a small group meeting I go to every week when I'm here, but I just don't know how to perfect. But they practice a perfecting in many, many different ways. Saints sign up for perfecting meetings during the week, like on a Thursday morning. And then we're thinking, who's going to come on Thursday morning? Well, many of us are retired. Many of us don't, you know, they're stay-at-home mothers. Some of the students have weeks and time off during the summer. If you would open up a time to have some perfecting training on a Thursday morning or a Wednesday morning, some people could sign up and register and come. For the working saints, on a Saturday they could come. They find a way to have some kind of perfecting for all the age groups and different elements of the church life, and then the saints sign up, they register, and for, you know, I don't know, 6 weeks or 7 weeks, they have a little time to perfect them in different areas of the church life, and you can see the benefit of this. You know, for example, going out and preaching the gospel, we found out when we were there, not all the saints go out, not all the saints, maybe 20% of the saints go out an hour a week or 2 hours a week to visit people and preach the gospel. But listen, if you have even 10 saints going out, even 10% of the saints going out, that really changes the church life. And that affects the church life. And that will cause the increase of the church year by year by year with just a small number. And some have the burden to do that. We need to open the opportunities for them and give them the way to function according to their measure, to find their relevancy in the church life. Amen. So I hope we can have more fellowship about this in the future, but we don't want to take too much time this morning.
Praise the Lord. Everything we've seen is objective to us. Only when we see, when we experience, is subjective. And being here for almost 3 years now, a lot of things are changing. So the Lord is doing wonderful things in New York City. And this time, the five of us, of course, the four of us from the church in New York City, and Brother Ben was a chaperone, sort of, to us, and taking very good care of us. Through the trip, the brothers in Taiwan literally opened all their closets, all their treasure troves to us. I mean, from every corner, every level, every part of the church life, all their administration, all their coordinations, everything was opened up to us. Brothers and sisters, I've been to Taiwan so many times, but this is the first time to me too, to see all the way through so many different aspects. So brothers mentioned some of them very practical points in the church life. But in the near future, even the administration of the church will be modernized. In a sense, it will be modernized. So everything we saw, everything we have seen in Taiwan, really nothing new, objectively. But subjectively, they are all so awesome. Just awing to us, really opening up our eyes. Praise the Lord. We believe this trip will be another historical step for the church in New York City. And so I'm not going to add much more. I want to do a couple of more practical things. Of course, pray for us. We do pray. In November, we're going to have another group of younger brothers to go visit Taiwan and do the same thing. And next year, February 16th to 18th, will be the 2018 International Chinese Speaking Conference. It's another opportunity to blend with all the churches, all the saints in the world. So they are expecting 7,000 saints from outside Taiwan to blend in Taiwan. So the conference probably going to be 30,000 saints. So when you saw the WCC, that's a little over 3,000. So it'll be 10 times that number of saints. Going to be on a flat floor. Just imagine. 30,000 saints on a flat floor. And I was there more than 2 years ago in that same exhibition hall. And 400 and some young people that day, I was one of them charging them to wipe every chair. 25,000 chairs. Clean up every chair. They clean up, I touch the back of the chair, so it's still dirty. One more time. 3 more hours for the 400 and some young people. Wipe the chair, the back of the chair. Imagine, it's the massive coordination. Saints, church in New York City has that potential. We brothers mentioned we visited Taipei, New Taipei City, and Kaohsiung. New York City, the population equals the total of those three cities. Those are three cities. So our potential, brothers and sisters, is tremendous. The Lord will bless the church in New York City. So hope you can pray for at least the February. We hope we'll go there with a group of saints from New Jersey and New York. The brothers can give us 4 buses. Because imagine 7,000 saints from outside of Taiwan, including local ones. We're probably gonna draft all the tour buses in Taiwan. 700-800 tour buses for that conference. So probably gonna exhaust all the tour buses in Taiwan. So please let us know if you want to go. I maybe we give it to you, brothers. Let the saints. Israel, where's Israel? Serving. Okay. We may let the brothers know if you want to go. We hope we can go there 1 week in advance so we can visit and tour the churches in Taiwan and also some sightseeing for the whole island of Taiwan. So February 16th to 18th is the conference, but we hope we can leave New York on the 10th or 11th. So let us know. Let's go together. We do pray in New York and New Jersey, we can have 200 saints. Don't worry about your language, okay? They speak all kinds of languages, okay? So English, Spanish, Korean, no problem. And let's just go together, okay? Praise the Lord. And what else I want to say? I want to ask one more time, one more thing, follow his what he mentioned. How many of you, if we do have a perfecting training on Thursday morning, let's say from 8:30 to 12:30, how many of you are retired or can ask a half day off and can do anything to separate, sanctify that Thursday morning? Raise up your hand. I want to see a show of hands. Whoa, quite a few. Praise the Lord. It's done. Because the saints in New Jersey, yesterday I was having some fellowship with them. Many of them are willing to be perfected, taking half a day or sometimes some evenings want to do it too. In the past few years, we've been doing a lot with the Chinese-speaking saints, but we want to do it with all the saints. So praise the Lord. So we will pray more, and hopefully after maybe July, we can start some perfecting training. And some may be long, some may be short, but we're gonna have terms, okay? Not unending training, but we will have terms. Praise the Lord. Pray for this, okay? Amen. We want Brother Ed to strengthen some of the burdens.
Amen. I would just like to, hopefully, briefly, because it's getting late. But I don't know how you feel about this. Oh, Taiwan, oh, Chinese, oh, why do we have to be copycats? I don't know if you realize what is the present situation. Maybe I'll give you a little history so you can understand. In 1973, well, no, before that, we have been studying Watchman Nee concerning the church. Amen. On Saturday mornings. And we realized every church is autonomous. And it was even mentioned when something is decided by a church, that's the Supreme Court. The other side of that is, don't touch me, don't come near. No, no, we are an independent church. Well, just to give you a little background, in 1973, we brothers realized the church in New York City was isolated, did not have fellowship. We realized this was wrong. But we had a group of saints who liked it that way. And we brothers realized we need to change the practice. It's really the practice that can be the problem. Right. However, if we don't change correctly, strongly, the church is going to divide. Terrible. So what did we do? Brother Eugene Gruler and myself, we went to the church in Los Angeles. Oh, the church in Los Angeles is the mother church? No. But we realized the practices that we're doing concerning calling on the Lord, concerning prayer reading, what's working. So we brothers went there, and we asked Brother Lee, please send some brothers over. So some brothers came over, and we really enjoyed the change of practice. Amen. Eventually, very few left the church. That was such a blessing. Well, please think, until we got the meeting hall in Manhattan. We had one meeting hall since January 5th, 1958, right?
Yeah.
To 2003, one meeting hall. What about now? We sold the meeting hall in Manhattan. What happened? Now we will have two districts. The Lord is going ahead of us. So we really need to know. We need to find out. We need to get the help how we can grow. We're talking about expanding. We're talking about enlarging. But how? I really appreciate think small.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.